Today on Real Life Radio.
I don't have to hope like this. Oh, I hope the Bible's true. Oh, I hope God keeps his word. Oh, I hope I make it to heaven. Oh, I hope. I don't have to hope like that kind of hope. My hope is based upon two immutable facts. That God the Father and God the Son swore an oath to save me.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message titled, When God Takes a Break, and this is part two. We cannot pick up the Bible without reading about God's love, His grace, and mercy to a rebellious and fallen world that's lost in its sin and failure to follow God. You see, when God takes a break here in chapter 10, He pauses to show some insights of where we're going in Revelation. God is always faithful in that before He sends judgment, He always sends His messengers of mercy for people to turn from their sinful ways. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that when God takes a break, He pauses to expose within us our sinful thoughts and habits in order to save us and to bring us joy and healing to our lives. And now in his message called When God Takes a Break, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
So Lord, we pray now that You would cause the study in the book of Revelation to make sense to us. Lord, that we would embed it into our hearts. And Lord, that we would walk in a way today, strengthened and different. In fact, Lord, when it's all done, when it's all said today, may we be able to lay our heads down on the pillow and say something happened today. Lord, You moved. So, Father, we give You now this time. We ask You to bless. In Jesus' name and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles then and turn, if you would, to the book of Revelation. We are in chapter 10 where we started last time. And we are now in part two of a message that is entitled, When God Takes a Break. And we're not talking about God taking a break because God gets tired. He doesn't get tired. The Bible says that God is not a man that He should lie. Did you know that? Ladies, before you nudge your husband, that word man means mankind. It means you too. God is not a man that He should lie like mankind lies. But having said that, God is also not a man that He should tire, that He should grow weary. When the Bible says here that God takes a break, or shows us, I should say, that God takes a break, Revelation chapter 10 is that chapter that we've studied in our opening message last time, that it's a parenthetical chapter. If you begin to read Revelation chapter 10 and 11, and you begin to get confused, because as you've read chapter 1 through, you would think, well, now I'm kind of mixed up. I don't quite understand what's going on here. Well, that's because chapter 10 and out to chapter 11, verse 14, it is what's called a parenthetical or a para chapter, so to speak, insert of information. We are now seeing the chronology of the book of Revelation come to a pause. It's as though God pauses and then allows John, or so to speak, speaks to John to show him some insights to better understand what's happened and where we're going in the book of Revelation. So we are allowed by John's writing to get into something that when that revelation was given to him nearly 2,000 years ago, we are now allowed by the Bible, by the Holy Spirit, to see and to hear what John saw and heard. Also, as we read last time, we are also with John not allowed to see and hear some things that were not permitted. And what I mean by that is that as John sees this revelation, there the sounding of these trumpets, these thundering blasts are given, and in the voices of the thunderings that are uttered, John begins to write down what he hears, and the message is given to John, stop. Don't write this portion down. It's not for anyone to know, but apparently those who will be living during the tribulation period. That's amazing to me, because this is the revelation of Christ, the book of Revelation, the unveiling of Christ, the unveiling, the allowing of us to know more of Christ in His glorified state, in His deity, resurrected, ascended in heaven, but now it is Christ and his godly agenda whereby John is told, don't write, don't reveal something that will be given during the tribulation period. And so we looked at some things regarding God's goodness. And those of you who were here, this will make sense. Those of you who are not, get the CD and you can study it later. And it is this, that we saw in our opening remarks when God takes a break, that God sends his messengers to mankind. God is always faithful, that before judgment comes, listen, Christian, this is vital. It's doctrinal. That before God sends judgment, he always sends an announcement. Before God sends judgment, he always sends his merciful act of giving a message or an opportunity for people to repent. I believe God is trying to send a message to America. America needs to listen and to repent of its evil and in the church of its laziness and slothfulness as a church. I think nationwide, America is asleep. Spiritually, we need to wake up. My goodness, this week we saw the cross. The battle didn't last very long, did it? We saw LA County under attack because they have the cross on the logo by the ACLU. It was under attack. A little bit of a fight I heard on talk radio. I think I heard Rush Limbaugh mention it a few times that the ACLU needs to butt out. I heard a few things on KFI that the ACLU needs to butt out. I tuned into Christian radio stations where those home churches are home to LA County. They said nothing about it. And off goes the cross. ACLU wins yet another battle. And by the way, they're winning one down south where yet again this week, a church was banned from baptizing their people in a city park. It is now not allowed. And don't think it's going to stop there. It will come to your door. It will come to our county. It will come to our city. And I think because, by and large, the church is asleep. People are just sleeping at the wheel. That's unfortunate. But the fact of the matter is God is sending his messengers, and he always does that. And here in the book of Revelation, a messenger is sent. And we saw that in his divine messenger given, we saw that this message was given by divine delivery, where the Bible says there in verse 1, I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven. Now listen carefully. I'm going to repeat what I said last week. You can get, by the way, I have 26 commentaries on the book of Revelation. I've read them all. And in this description of whoever this divine messenger is, half of them declare it's Jesus Christ, and half of those great scholars declare that it's probably Michael the archangel or some great messenger. The point is that the origin of the message, the delivery, comes from heaven, that that messenger is of divine origin. I shared with you that I personally believe, because of the description of this messenger, that it's none other than Jesus. But frankly, I don't know that for sure. I don't really care. What I care about is the origin, that the message delivered is from heaven above, and it's a divine delivery. We saw that his face was like the sun. He was clothed in a cloud. His feet were like the pillars of fire, and he had a rainbow around his head. And for that reason, that's why many scholars have confused him, or I should say, seen him as Christ Jesus. Again, no one knows the answer for sure. But when God desires to speak to mankind, he speaks from above. We saw that through Abraham. We saw that through Moses. We saw that through the prophets and through the fathers of our faith before us. We saw that when Jesus spoke, that the Holy Spirit, or I should say when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down and the Father spoke from heaven above. And we know that when Jesus was brought into the world, of course, the angels descended from heaven and they spoke. We also saw last time that the messenger is of a divine description with all of his wonderful attributes. These are not, and this is not, the angels that would ascend out of the pit, we read that, or the angels who would ascend out of the great river Euphrates, we've seen that in previous studies. No, the angels that are mighty as described in Scripture, this is not the only place in the book of Revelation, the mighty angel. In another place, it is the powerful angel, same Greek word, mighty, powerful, same word. They are coming with a tremendous revelation to be given. But this angel, this messenger, angelos, it could be an evangelist, same word applies, could be a pastor, as it is to the letter to the seven churches, the angel to the letter, these ones who were assigned, angelos again, referring to the pastors, the ministers of those seven churches. It's a message of Christ, could be, certainly, of angels, truly, So the word angelos has a broad application, but this one, as we mentioned, has a divine description. We also saw in verses 2 and 3 that the angel has a divine duty, that what he says is something very powerful, but before he says it, it's interesting that, remember his posture, he puts one foot on the sea and one foot on the land, holds his hand up to heaven, and swears an oath unto God. And we talked about how God himself, with Abraham, swore an oath unto himself, because God and God alone keeps his own oaths. Man is not able. Every time I say what I'm about to say, people get offended. So you know me, I'm going to say it just to offend one more. I personally believe, though I'm not putting any kind of cloud over the ministry at all, the promise keepers, that's great. But the promise keepers, we must first realize that there ain't no promise keepers on the planet. No, not one. God is the only promise keeper. We have to say, Lord, help me to keep my promises I make to you. He's the promise keeper. We need to be dependent upon the promise keeper. And when God says something, God will keep his word. He will perform what he says to do. And so when God swears an oath, you can absolutely count on the fact that God will fulfill his oath that he's made unto men and unto the earth. And so we saw this angel standing in a position of great authority. So this is where we left off last time. And if you look in your Bible, verses 4 through 7, we see where God takes a break, that he prepares to fulfill his word to mankind. He prepares to fulfill his word to mankind, and that is with a sealed message. Verse 4, he says, now when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up these things which the seven thunders uttered, and do not write them. So what John sees and hears, he's not allowed to write down, not allowed to speak of. And we looked at this in Deuteronomy 29:29. The Bible says that the secret things belong unto the Lord. What we know for sure, are you ready, people, to remember this part? What we know for sure about this, what is it that John heard? What is it that he was about to write down? This is what we know for sure, that we don't have a clue. We don't know. And yet you can pick up books and they'll try to tell you what it means. We don't know what it means. And we will not know what it means. The generation that will be in that latter half, the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period, they'll know what it means. That's all we know. It's not for us to know. We saw in verses 5 and 6, and we recap right now, that he prepares to fulfill his word to mankind with a sworn promise. And there it tells us that this messenger raises his hand up to heaven, and he swears an oath with his feet there upon the sea and upon the land, as he swears this oath of promise. And it is God who keeps his word. Hebrews 6, verse 17 says, thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of God. That means God never changes. Isn't that comforting? He never changes. Isn't that great? He tells you one thing, and you don't have to worry by Friday that he changes his mind. God sticks to what he says. He has confirmed it by an oath. Hebrews 6, 18 says that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. What I love about our Christian hope. See, people look at us and say, oh, you Christians, you know, pie in the sky, Christians. Hey, wait a minute, man. You know what? What's your hope anchored to? Oh, I hope the stock market continues to... Well, you know what? It may be going up right now, but I guarantee it ain't going to stay. Well, I'm really hoping, you know, I'm hoping that I stay healthy. Well, you know, that's great, but eventually you will wear out. Well, I'm hoping, and that's just wonderful. Just know this. All things of the earth will end eventually. What's great about being a Christian, I got to tell you, and if you think I'm nuts... That's your problem, not mine, because I'm happy as a clam. And it is this. I don't have to hope like this. Oh, I hope the Bible's true. Oh, I hope God keeps his word. Oh, I hope I make it to heaven. Oh, I hope. I don't have to hope like that kind of hope. My hope is based upon two immutable facts. That God the Father and God the Son swore an oath to save me. And that will not be broken. absolutely sure of it. Well, Pastor, aren't you a sinner? Sure am. Doesn't that make you nervous? Makes me sick. But you know what? Regarding eternity, I get to go. Because Jesus paid the price. I couldn't buy the ticket. He paid it for me. I get to go because he said so. Well, that sounds mighty arrogant. Oh, no, 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 no. Don't lay upon me the fact, the thought, the concept that I'm going to save me. I can't save me. But I have run to him, the refuge, who can save me. And so I don't hope it all works out in the end. I know it's going to work out in the end. And my hope is, rest assured that my hope is guaranteed. On what basis? On the cross. My hope is, rest assured, on the basis of the resurrection. My hope is based upon the absolute fact that Jesus ascended back up into heaven. And if that wasn't enough assurance of my hope, on the day of Pentecost, God descended in the person of the Holy Spirit to guarantee us that Christ arrived in heaven. How do you know Jesus made it in heaven? Because Jesus said, when I get there, I will send the promise of the Father. And on Pentecost, the church was born and the Holy Spirit came. And he lives inside my heart. He lives inside your heart if you're a Christian. And here's the cool thing. Oh, Pastor, are you hoping he lives in there? I'm not hoping. I know he does. And the wonderful assurance is that, man, if I die today, or if he comes back today for me in the rapture of the church, whatever the case might be, I know I get to go. I'm going with him. And if I hear a trumpet blast or the blast of a Mack truck coming down the highway and I'm tying my shoe and I forget to get out of the way, I'm going to go see Jesus. And that's a wonderful thing. You know, I was just told before service here, those of you who may remember sitting right over here, 3 weeks ago, there was a man who came here to see his grandchild dedicated, Richard. He came and he was not a believer. And he came and remember that? We were teaching on hell. Go figure. And I even had a red shirt on, remember? And I've been asked to do his funeral. I hope I can. I don't know what my schedule is, but if I'm in town. But I guess the instructions were given. Can Jack do my funeral but without the red shirt? Because in that service, I said, you know what? We're talking and teaching on hell, and I didn't wear this red shirt to drive the point across, but you know what that man did? That grandpa accepted Christ 3 weeks ago, and he just went home to be with Christ. He accepted Jesus, and away he goes. My goodness, what about you? Do you know Christ today? Do you think he's hoping? Oh, I hope. He's enjoying the reality of Christ right now. What a wonderful truth. Why is that true? Because God has given us solemn oath. We also understand this, that in Colossians 2, verse 1, jot it down, the mystery of God. We hear in this portion of Scripture about the mystery of God. Keep this in mind. Colossians 2, 1 says, let me tell you, Paul says, how hard I have worked for you and for the people of Laodicea and for all others who do not know me personally. I do this in order that I may be filled with the courage and may be drawn together in love and so have the full wealth of assurance which true understanding brings. In this way, they will know the mystery of God, his divine secret, which is Jesus Christ himself. Salvation in Christ. It's that Jesus Christ alone saves us. Listen carefully. Now look, I'm going to give you Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 5. Many cults visit this church. I know because they write me. They say I'm of this cult or of that cult. They don't say, hi, I'm of this cult, but I'm of this movement or these people or this thing. Well, you listen carefully if you're visiting today. Ephesians 2, 5 says, even when we were dead in our trespasses. Trespasses. Didn't say sin. Sin's bad enough. Trespass is worse if you could put a meter on it. You know what sin is? Sin in the Greek, the word means to miss the mark. It's an archery term taken from the Olympics. When they would set up a target, that archer would pull out an arrow. And he would shoot that arrow. And if he missed the target, the judge would say, sinner! He would yell back at the competitor, sinner! He probably didn't say, sinner! But he said, sinner, you missed the mark. Back then, nobody got offended. Nobody started crying and went home, exactly. You offended me, call me a sinner. He missed the mark. The guy didn't hit the target, he missed the mark. today when we say, oh, I love God and I want to walk and I want to be so obedient to Him, and we miss what God says, the Holy Spirit says, sinner, you missed the mark. Try again. So you pull out another arrow. Oh, God, I'm going to pray more earnestly. Missed the mark. Holy Spirit says, sinner. Oh, I'm going to try to keep the first. I'm to hit the Ten Commandments, I'll start with the first five. So let's start with number one. You shall love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, strength, and mind. Sinner. I've missed before I started. I had missed before I even pulled the arrow out of the quiver. Missed. Sinner. That's to miss the mark. A transgressor is like this. A transgressor. God draws the line in the sand. In this case, He gives us His Bible. And He says, for example, don't have sex before marriage. It messes you up. It'll mess you up spiritually. It'll mess you up emotionally. It will mess you up physically. God says, don't have sex outside of marriage. Now, you know what happened? Everybody, they feel or see the line, right? It's drawn there. The line is there. And maybe you're 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. I don't care if you're 25. Doesn't matter. I don't care if you're 55. You haven't crossed that line yet. And you're up there and you go and you're getting tempted. It's like, oh man, there's the line. And you're looking at it and the temptation's pulling and you're like, transgression is, I see the line. Look at that line right there. And I know what it means. Thou shalt not cross this line or else I'm going to get all emotionally and physically and spiritually wacky. And I'll never think the same if I cross this line. This is what I've been told in the Bible. I need to obey God. He made me. He knows what's best.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Life Radio with his message called When God Takes a Break, Part 2. We're glad you could join us today. When God Takes a Break, Part 2. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, everybody, this is David Jay in studio with my friend, Pastor Jack. Pastor Jack, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. But let me tell you, I am counting down until Countdown arrives at my house. I'm really excited about this new book. Now, it's called Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game. And it's a brand new book you wrote about the indicators happening today, you know, right now, that point to prophecies and end times events. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, you know what? Lately, with all the things that have been going on in the world, mm-hmm. of course, more specifically these last few years.
Right.
But of late, with wars and rumors of wars, as Jesus put it, just quickly put together a book from recent messages that I've done.
Yeah.
And I think that people will find it extremely timely because, of course, there's been a lot added in between the sermon notes and all that are relevant and current to this moment. I think people are going to find it insightful. And the goal, of course, is to bring the hope of the gospel to people.
Yeah. Now, Pastor, you mentioned the timeliness of this book with all that's happening in the world today. It feels like these days we might be running out of time.
Yeah, exactly why both the cover will depict time fleeting and the title Countdown itself. I think, Davey, when you look at it, people, believer and non-believer, there's a sense of urgency among people.
Yeah.
I know among those who are believers, there's a sense of urgency, basically to get the job done about getting out the gospel. But for the non-believer, I think they sense an overwhelming grip of things being temporary.
Mm-hmm.
The zeal, for example, of passions are now quickly becoming not the answer. Unfulfilling, which it used to take a lifetime of pursuing sex, drugs, and rock and roll, as people would say it,
right?
Power, education. Now they're finding out really quick, wow, you know what? This leaves a really bitter taste, and I'm still empty, and I need to find hope.
Well, there you have it, the new book by Pastor Jack, Countdown, All Eyes on God's Ultimate End Game, and you can order it right now for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/offer. That's jackhibbs.com/offer. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.